Hey guys, we're back with a new episode, and on this episode, I want to talk about starting now, starting messy. We're talking about business and small business. I invited a very dear friend of mine, Zuzia Rowe. She's a successful small business entrepreneur back home in the Bahamas. She's a trailblazer. She's doing her thing. And Zuzia Rowe, thank you so much for accepting my invitation to this podcast. Welcome to the IR Series podcast.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
So Zuzia, let's just get right into it. Tell me about POW. What is POW? And what was it like starting out as a small business?
Well, POW is what it is now, is a food trailer. We have one food trailer set up right now. We started back in February of 2017. Wow. Where we first wanted to be really for festivals. We bought this little truck and we decided we're only gonna show up at festivals. Mm-hmm. Well, of course, that wasn't enough because it was something new to the country, and persons wanted to have this thing more than just at festivals. So we grew after that. We grew to operating every Saturday, and now in our going into our third year, we are now operating 4 days per week.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm gonna dig a little bit deeper. So I have a question. Uh-huh. Did you always know that you wanted to do this? Or because I know you had a regular a job in the corporate field. Uh-huh. So tell me about that. What was it like transitioning from the corporate world now into the food truck industry?
Okay, so I always knew I wanted to have my own business. At first, it was a hotel, which in the future, of course, it would still be like a small boutique hotel. Mm-hmm. But then I also wanted a restaurant. In the beginning, of course, I didn't know what type of restaurant, but knowing my love for breakfast, mm-hmm, and brunch items, I said, since I have such a passion for eating, mm-hmm, it, I think I would enjoy running it. And then I decided to do that. But the transition basically was kind of easy because I've already made up my mind at that point that I wanted to move on, thinking about where the money is going to come from.
Right.
That my thing was, I always had a savings. I had one boss back in the day who pulled me aside and she said, "Miss, you need to open up a credit union savings."
Wow.
That was back in, I think, 2007 or something like that, when I was just working to make money and going to COB, uh-huh, in the night. So she was, I would commend her. Her name is Miss Haven. I'll never forget her. She taught me how to save.
So you were saving for something, but you didn't know what exactly what it was.
Wow, it was just awesome. Me saving money. And I saved up good much money before I left for college. But it was just sitting there.
Right.
Yeah, so that the transition was not hard because I already had something to use. So it was just a matter of setting up a good action plan to transition over.
Okay, so I have another question. Mm-hmm. So what was it like, that moment when you were like, when you had to decide that I can no longer sit on this job and I need to birth this desire for
yes and no. It was okay. Here it is. I was in a place where I had this position. It was a pretty good position, but then I wanted something different. Like, I already knew the position, I already learned enough. Mm-hmm. And then I wanted to grow. But what it took was a bunch of getting turned down from these different positions to realize, hey, you have so much more to offer and you have all of these great ideas, you need to just do what you have to do. So saying if it's easy or hard, it was in between, because then I had a love for what I did, but then I didn't feel complete. or I didn't feel satisfied. So I would say that the transition was easy.
Okay. Okay, so the transition was easy. But another, I have another question that's on my mind. Did you seek God on this decision, or you just stepped out on faith?
No, I prayed about it. I pray about everything that I try to go into. So I did pray about it, but I prayed for direction as well, because I didn't know, you don't know everything. You know, you can try to plan, but then you also have to consult him. So I did say prayers, asking for guidance. And it really was only him. Like, I don't see this idea coming from anywhere else. One day out of the clear blue sky, he just gave me this vision, like, of this food truck or whatever. And he was like, and I just started to research. So I thought it was divinely set up by him. Like, honestly, he gave me everything I needed.
That's awesome. So what was it like the very first time that you set up station for the food truck?
Oh, you sure you want to hear the story?
Yes, I do. I want to hear all of it.
It was a complete disaster.
What?
Not completely, but I mean, it was just hard. It just made me cry. It really was hard. It started like when we got our food truck. Mm-hmm. Well, I said we because my mom also got the same thing, but let me just focus on me. Yeah. I got the food truck and it was, I didn't know everything about it, but here it is. We are at the festival. Nobody knows how to work this power in the truck.
Wow.
So we actually was there for like at least 4 to 5 hours trying to figure out how to get power to the truck. Without bringing our generators, because I think we weren't allowed to bring generators on property, I guess for safety reasons. Mm-hmm. So we had lost like 4 hours of sales time just trying to figure this thing out.
Wow.
When we finally got started, because we had to just decide, hey, we got to bring our generators. We already paid to be to this event. Nobody can make the money back for us. They ain't giving us our money back, so we need to try bring our generators and try sell our food.
All right.
Well, at the end of that first night, I think I counted, $700?
That's good.
Yeah, it was good. I didn't know what to expect. But like I said, I wasn't sure people would buy into this thing. I was new. People really loved it. You know, we had some critiques, because it was new. But so we understood. It wasn't the best setup to me. I didn't think we could have done a better job setting up, but
it was a start.
It was a start. So you can't despise small beginnings. And so I was really hard on myself because I was like, I just wanted to be perfect. But so it was really challenging.
So did you go home and were you discouraged, or how was it stepping out again after that moment?
Sorry,
you automatically learned your lessons, or
no,
what was it like?
No, it took a process. I mean, it's not gonna be overnight for me. It wasn't overnight. It was learning as I go because, like I said, it was my first business I owned that required so much technical attention and all of this, So. Yeah. It was a lot of learning because, sometimes I didn't even know how to deal with generators. Now, I think I have some knowledge about generators. So it took, sometimes when the generator ain't working, I had to be like, play MacGyver and
you
try to get it.
Had to learn how to do everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I didn't always have a male figure at hand. My fiance, he works a full-time job. So I had to be everything to the business.
Wow, so you literally grew through.
Must say, I grew to learn. And honestly, even researching food truck business and trying to get advice from different people around the world, everybody said this is a trial and error business. Everybody who responded to me was like, you got to learn as you go because every business is different because they have different machinery inside the trucks, they have a different aspect that they sell. And so it's not a one-stop shop thing. You gotta learn as you go.
Okay, so if I'm honest, I've been following Pau for a while. I love his food. I love everything about Pau. I'm always on your page. I always see Pau on my timeline from my friends. But I have to recall this moment that I saw where the truck itself basically tore apart.
Mm-hmm.
Can we let's touch on that area? Because I would like to know, I'm sure you felt devastated during this, because at this time, Pau was at its peak.
Mm-hmm.
So what was it like, you know, now getting to a place of success and now having everything pulled away, torn apart, and now starting back up from the ground?
So what is so good about that is, I heard you said having everything torn apart and pulled away, and it was just the total opposite.
Wow.
Because it was just the total opposite. Everything came together after that. It was almost like, you really don't need that.
Wow.
When it happened, it was like, God just gave me this peace to say, you really don't need that. Like, I'm trying to tell you, you need to grow. Like, because I
didn't cry at all.
I didn't. And I actually laughed at it. God was telling me this a little while, because when it happened, to be honest, from here to heaven, a few weeks I was battling with, I need to get a bigger unit. I was battling, like, should I just go all in and just try to get some type of financing and just do it? I was battling with this thing. And I said, no, man, I still have this truck. I could just go with it until we get some more money. And listen, I was just strictly disobedient. I honestly, and it was like, boom, take that. What I say.
So you didn't even have any time to even just be such a negative Betsy, or you just stayed positive through all of this, this disappointing moment?
I was just, and I didn't even say why, because I was like, I was frustrated with the thing. It was costing me so much money, because we had to go and buy this thing to pull it, and then it was just a lot. So I was like, you know what? Yeah, it's time to go.
So when this happened, you had to go back to how you first started, or?
I started with that. I had to go backward, period. I went into two tents. We went under two tents. So we operated with the tents for a few months, because
so was it a humbling experience, or how did you manage to go tents and now have a food truck, and now the food truck is destroyed, now back to tents? Was it like a humbling experience, or was it, what was it like?
I didn't feel shame at all. I'm not a person that shames very easily, so I wasn't ashamed. It was just like, okay, you gotta do what you gotta do. In business, you don't have time to be no shame, because you gotta just improvise. You gotta do what you need to do to make sure the business carries on. Because at the end of the day, those people really didn't care about that truck when I really look at it. Because when we opened back up with our tents, we got more sales.
Wow.
The people didn't care about that.
So it's important to continue to push.
Yes, you can't give up.
Okay.
You can't give up. Again, I'm passionate again. Oh, let me calm down. But yes.
It's okay.
Yeah. You have to keep on going, yeah.
So you got to dig a little deeper. So as a successful small business entrepreneur, I know you came out and, you know, I was so excited to see what you were doing, because I haven't seen it in the Bahamas before. But now I see it everywhere. We all know where it came from. So how do you handle being copied? How do you handle your ideas being, you know, seen elsewhere? How do you deal with that? And you know, because for me, I would be so upset. How do you manage to stay authentic during this process and not get so competitive per se, where it steals your joy? How do you manage? Because even through all of this, I see that you still, you know, bring in light and laughter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let me see how I would get best answer this. So basically, all right. So how do I deal with it without getting super competitive? And so basically, it's a competition. I mean, let me state that straight up.
it's business still. See, so at first I had to learn how to deal with it from an anger standpoint. I was kind of annoyed. Yeah. It was annoying, like really big
annoying. It would annoy you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm human still. And then I had this research because I said, okay, I've not ever been in this situation before. So what do you do when people start to copy you? And I did some research. And, you know, the one thing that stuck out to me was do not focus on them. You know what's there, so just make sure that you stay on top. So that was my goal, to make sure that we remain on top, make sure that our food quality, customer service, everything is on par so that there's no threat.
Yeah.
And then again, I started, I you know, people already know, like you said, what the original, who the originals were. But then, of course, putting it out there again, because you had some people, they didn't know. They would be like, oh, y'all were this place or that place. I said, no, we're just only one. We only have one trailer. You know, so they were getting confused. So we had to, like, set them, you know, like, let them understand it's only one POW. So basically, it is a competition. And I'm very competitive. And so in business, oh my, you know, I was so happy to be. Yeah, I was so I was like, okay, it kind of get me. It honestly, actually, it pushed me, you know. To be honest, it may sound crazy, but when I saw them, I was like, oh yeah, okay then, I can show you. I can show you who's the boss.
So it basically made you even more creative.
Yes, it pushes you. It's good. Competition is good. To be honest, I'll say in business, competition is always good. Now, when you, and I honestly, they was really running out. They was, I mean, it was verbatim copying the menu. But hey, like I say, verbatim, right? And competition is still good. I was like, you know what? Okay, you want to play dirty? Let's go.
Wow.
Let's go. And I made the people know who was the best. That's competition. You see Wendy's and McDonald's, them don't know they competing.
Wow.
That's it.
That's awesome. So Xavier, I have a you know, a request.
Oh, wow. Okay. Let me hear this.
You know, I know a lot of people have a lot of great ideas. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people, you know, desire to be a successful entrepreneur, but they just don't know how to lead, because they probably don't feel as if what they have is good enough, or they probably may not, you know, think that, you know, what they have could maybe somehow be successful. What advice would you give to them, seeing that you've already, you know, been through the journey, you've already experienced this, you know, I'm sure you were scared starting out. So what advice would you give to them?
I would say to make sure that it's something that you can see yourself doing, even when you're at your lowest point.
Wow.
Because, and I say that because I have had experience where I got so discouraged that I wanted to give up. Mm-hmm. And then I was reminded that I love it.
That's passion. Okay.
Yes. So do what you're passionate about. I was gonna say that. Yeah, right. So it is passion. But really, really, really think, would I be doing this forever? Like, do I see myself doing this forever, even if at my lowest point? Even when nobody is there to help me, can I do this? Yeah. And so, and not because you don't have the money, you can't start, because you have to start from somewhere. Like I said, I didn't have the money to purchase the unit that we have today, but I started with whatever I saved, which wasn't a whole lot of money. So I would say that passion is a big thing. And sometimes you would have people who run business who are not so passionate. So that's not a staple for everyone, but it's a staple for if you are a person that easily gives up, or your motive, you have a different motive altogether. Some people's motive is just money. Once they see the money coming, they never giving up. So whether or not it's a passion, they still doing it.
Yeah.
See, because I had a passion thing, but I never really fully bought into it. Because if you're making a lot of money from something, you could still go.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, money is your passion at that point.
Okay. All right. Xavier, you know, again, thank you so much for joining me on this podcast. And I know I can't let you leave just like that.
Oh, jeez.
So, you know, a part of my podcast, you know, I told God that I'm going to always give him the glory in what I do. And I see God in your business. I see your light. Your light consistently shines, and shines.
Wow.
It shines so bright.
What?
And, you know,
I'm honored.
Your light itself has lit my candles.
Wow.
Because, and I thank you so much for your transparency through your business. I thank you
you're
so
welcome.
Much for all that you're doing for people like me who probably just don't know how to start.
So
I'm just going to speak some life into you.
Wow.
Because I see great things in you.
Amen.
And I know that POW itself is not just going to be the only business that you produce.
Oh, wow, yes.
I speak life into your ideas. I speak life into POW right now. I speak an overflow like never before. Mm. I speak restaurants, big restaurants, from food trucks to restaurants.
Oh, wow.
I speak life into your future alone because I know that doors are going to open up for you, and the doors that open up for you is going to be a blessing to other people.
Amen.
So thank you so much, Xavier, for joining the IR Series podcast today.
Thank you. You
know, you're doing amazing things, and I will continue to support you on the online community because
amen. I know you're not here.
And I'll be sharing your flyers. So if you're tuning in right now and if you're listening in, be blessed. And I hope that this has encouraged you. Well, hold on, before we leave, Xavier, do you have anything to say to the listeners?
I'm the only thing I want you guys to do is, if you're not POWing right now, start POWing, because right now it's about to get lit. As of tomorrow, the POWing can start. So get on Instagram, get on Facebook, because that's where we post our flyers, and the handle is at POW Brunch. So POWBRUNCH. You can follow and you can like and you can start to join the POW Nation.
All right, Xavier, you did it. You did it again. Thank you so much
for tuning in.
Thanks so much for joining in. All right, guys, stay tuned for next episode.
All right.